Today's word is celesis. Apparently, it rhymes with talab. This is the news, according to me. Good morning. It is Tuesday morning. Week is, again, as usual, flying by. It is Tuesday, September 27th, 8:24 a.m. For some reason, I've been having a hard time getting up early this week. I'm not sure what's going on. Anybody has any clues, let me know. I went to bed last night, I think about 9:30, and I didn't go to sleep right away, but I did, you know, I fell asleep at some point. I wasn't too long into it. Must have been about 10:30. Fell asleep. Sometimes I'll go to bed and just kind of watch videos. I like watching educational stuff. I've got another channel that I'm getting ready to spool up. It's all about shop work. I work in a shop, and I talk like a tinkering, it's a man cave on steroids. I've got all kinds of toys, and would be doing another, like as if there aren't enough of them, another shop type video. Mine's going to be a little different than most, but it's going to be, as they all are, everybody has some kind of different take on everything. But I've been watching a lot of videos on some things, some tools and stuff that I'm planning on kind of doing. I watch that kind of stuff. I've got a variety of interests. If you ever look at, there's a TED Talk that's pretty good. There's some other stuff out there as well. It's just as good. But the easiest one to understand is this TED Talk. It's called Multipotentialism, Multipotentialite. I am a multipotentialite. I had a hard time through most of my life, figuring out what it was my career was supposed to be. I was supposed to settle into a career, and this is going to be my job, and I was going to do this for the rest of my life. I would start something, I would learn something, I would go to the point of teaching it, starting a business revolving around it, and then I would get bored with that and do something completely different. And the same thing would happen. I would get to the point where I had all the ratings. I got everything done. I rose to the top, became an instructor, started a business, and then got bored with that and went on the next thing. This happened, I don't know how many times. I mean, my wife can tell you probably exactly how many times because it drove her nuts. And every time I'd walk in the room and say, "Hey, I've got an idea," she would cower and walk off in the corner and start recoiling into the fetal position. At least in her mind, that's what was going on. Oh, what's he going to do now? And she actually was the one who discovered this whole thing. Her boss at work, she has a normal job. She has she's like a regular person who has a job and she gets an education and she continues to move forward in that position. I am not like that. I would be insane right now if I did that. The longest job I ever had was 7 years with a company that I am now back working for again, by the way. I've actually worked a total of about 11 years with them, almost 11 years. Within a couple months, it'll be 11 years that I've put in with that company. Now, they don't recognize the first 7 years I worked for them. It was all nice and well and good that I was there, but so I was gone for 12 years doing other things because I'm a multipotentialite. Now I'm back at the company, but I'm doing something basically totally different. I'm a very different position at the company now. Because, again, I'm a whole thing. I've been there almost 4 years. Time there goes by very quickly. And I think that's the only reason I've been able to maintain, to stay there as long as I have. That was the longest I've ever worked for a company was 7 years with them the first time. It looks like I could potentially be there 7 years again. The rate things are going flying by now. However, what I do is very much in demand right now. And if they don't step up their game, somebody's going to take me away from them. Because I guarantee you money does talk. That's to some degree, at some point, money becomes a factor. When they start talking about doubling my pay, now we're competing with my voiceover business. Now it's like, well, maybe this is worth, not doing the voiceover thing for a while. However, I can still do the voiceover thing, which is kind of ridiculous. So, So in the meantime, what's important, I think what everybody really wants to know, and this is the bottom line, but the last line of the day, the last thing that everybody really is concerned about is what's in my cup. I have vanilla chai that's almost gone already. I was kind of busy this morning because I was putting together some audio recording for you. I actually decided to put some effort into this show, which is unusual. Usually I just plop myself in a chair and I start yakking about the news and all my pent up anger comes spooling out for you to enjoy. Apparently somebody out there enjoys it because you guys keep listening to me. I don't know what's going on. It's probably just the FBI. I got a whole floor dedicated to listening to my wacko stuff. Yeah. I have my vanilla chai with my vanilla creamer. And I've also got a backup. The backup cup this morning basically is almost all sweet tea. Let's taste it here. It does have a hint of apple cider in it. Because I did have a little bit of apple cider left in the cup, I think. And I poured tea in there. Pretty good. That's pretty good. It tastes pretty good. some good news, if you want to call it that. Canada has apparently dropped its requirements, or it's going to drop its requirements. I don't know if it's dropped it or if it's going to be at the end of the month. Because, between now and then, it always cracked me up when they would say, this coming Tuesday, we're going to put restrictions in place that you have to wear a mask or that you have to have a vaccine. Oh, it's so urgent. It's so deadly that you're going to wait 5 days, 7 days, whatever, to put that in place. That always cracks me up. If you're going to drop it now. It's like, by the end of the month, in the next 4 days, we're going to drop the restrictions. Oh, because the trend is going down and it reaches a certain level. You're basing this on some kind of science or just the date works out well for you? This is the people, these leftist nuts that are always screaming science and you are the science deniers. No, you don't. I don't think you understand the definition of the word science. I think there's a problem here. And the science doesn't keep changing every other day. What people are booted off of social media for today, they will be shouting from the rooftops a week from now. And if you don't say that, you're booted off of social media. It's the ridiculousness of this idea that they are the purveyors of science and they are the ones who are the holders of the truth. And all this misinformation. No, misinformation, having the discussion is what we need to have in order to come to a conclusion. There is now I just read a headline this morning that there's a leading doctor who was pushing, wasn't Anthony Fauci, it was somebody, I don't know what the name of the guy was, I can't think of it now. Major, major doctor pushing the whole vaccination thing has changed course and said that the data is overwhelming. The vaccines may have helped initially a little bit and kept some people from dying. There's no question of that. That's the data on that. However, now vaccinations, no more. No more, folks. This guy's saying, no, the data is not showing that this is actually going in reverse now. Having the vaccine apparently is not good for you now with the current strains and the current other issues that are happening now. There are some reports now, initial reports, not peer-reviewed studies, but there are studies that are showing that actually having been boosted several times may be diminishing your immunity to certain cancer, to certain types of diseases, especially heart issues. So there's a escalated risk associated with it. Now, they don't know if there's comorbidities, there's co-issues here, if there was something, if it's accelerating an issue that would have happened anyway, or if it's just simply damage that's done by the, there's obviously not everybody's dropping dead. So it's there must be some certain people who are contraindicated, whatever. Like people like to throw that word around. I saw somebody throw that word around in a comment they made to me. I made a comment on a YouTube channel the other day, and somebody came back with this contraindicated something, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I don't think you understand the meaning of the word contraindicated. But they were trying to throw big words out there to make it sound like they knew what they were talking about. They had no idea. So onward and upward, along with all that, I wasn't going to actually get into the COVID thing today. That's not part of my outline here that I don't have in front of me. Because I never have an outline. Like I said, I usually just plop myself down on a chair. I have no agenda. However, there is a small agenda this morning, and it goes much deeper than just what this audio is about. And this, the reason I want to play this is because it really shows the leftist fascism, the totalitarian elitism that we have going on in this leftist regime. The Democrat Party is split right now. There's actually three factions in the Democrat Party right now. You have the extreme leftists who are what I would call the squad. And believe it or not, they're not even as far left as there are some other people who are further left than they are. So far left that they don't even want to associate with the squad because they don't think they're left enough. Rashida Tlaib is one of those individuals. That's on the squad. I'm sorry. She's in the squad. Sandy Cortez would be another one. There's a couple others. Names escape me at the moment. I'm not gonna waste my brain power on that. But this is Rashida has taken it upon herself to go after the banks. Now, here's what typically happens. We don't know what's going on behind the scenes here. I'm not going to accuse her of this or the banks of this. However, this is how typically this kind of stuff happens. An elected official will call them before Congress and start asking them questions and have this hearing. And start asking all kinds of mean-spirited questions. And then there's all these, somehow through some back channels, through some communication between the person asking the mean questions and the people involved in the process, somehow along the way, there are donations to certain campaigns made, money slipping by and things, deals being done. Not by them themselves, no, of course not. Much like James Comey, not giving his notes of his meeting with the president directly to the media. He gave them to somebody else to give to the media. The back channel world in D.C. is an extremely large net. Network. Net stands, that's short for network. But it also applies to the net that people get tangled in. It's an extremely large, well-funded, money greasing the wheels operation there. And sometimes when they call people before Congress, all of a sudden, nothing ever happens. Sometimes they'll call them before Congress again. Now, there's two different separate videos here. One of them is where Rashida Tlaib is, or as this news anchor actually introduced her as, Rashida Tlaib. And I think she said celestial, whatever she said, whatever. However, I said at the beginning of the recording here, at the beginning of the show, she can't even say Celsius. She said it's Celsius or whatever, Celsius. She said it not just once. It wasn't just a skip of the tongue once. That's the way she pronounces the word. She said it like, I've heard her say it like 4 or 5 times that way now. Now, I know, I understand some people can't say aluminum. Some people can't say linoleum. I get it. Okay, some people have a hard time with certain words, pronunciation of some words. Now, I also have a hard time with the people who show their bottom teeth a lot when they talk. This shows there is actually, believe it or not, there is actually some scientific study here on this about the mental state of these people who like to show their bottom teeth when they talk. There's something going on there. So that's what she does. That I mean, that's all you can see with when she talks. She likes to come across as if she's smart. And we're going to play this audio, and hopefully you can understand. I'm gonna be chiming in with some commentary here and there, because it is quite telling with regard to how she goes after these people and the general attitude of the leftist that we're dealing with here. So, without further ado, I shall play this audio. This is her interviewing some banking individuals, and this is all about fossil fuels. Stop funding fossil fuels. And the general consensus of the bankers and the way the Congress would like to run the banking industry. They would like to run all industries. That when they call you before Congress to answer for your actions and the way you do things, my question to them, if they'd call me ahead to Congress, this is what I would say. Have I done anything illegal? Then what's it to you? If you're asking me if I'm doing anything illegal or if I need to be held account to something, then that's what I'm accountable to, the law. Have I broken the law? No. Then I'm done talking to you right now. I don't take direction from you. You work for me. I pay taxes for your salary. I don't vote you into place. I'm not your representative. You're my representative. You're there to protect my rights and to uphold the law, not to ridicule me and defame me and slander me here in front of the entire nation. You're a representative.
Oh, but you're a corporation. You're a business.
Yeah. Believe it or not, I'm just a business. I run my business as a sole proprietor. I'm not an incorporated entity. You don't own me. And that's the problem with being a corporation. I've learned that the hard way. I will never incorporate again, not even an LLC. If you look at the fine print, you realize that is an entity of the state. You don't own it. They actually allow you to do business. Well, I'm not going to ask for your permission anymore. Because that's baloney. That's like saying, you're going to take away my right to carry, to keep and bear, to keep and carry, to own and carry a sidearm. You're going to take that right away from me and then sell it back. Oh, we're not taking it away from you. You just have to pay for the permit. We just have to make sure because we have to have some regulations here. Oh, like the border you're talking about. We just have to know who's coming in to the country. Oh, no, we just let you go. But you're a citizen, and we have to protect you from, the bad guys. So we have to take away your rights because the bad guys, that way when they try to carry a gun, then we know that, they're not. Oh, you mean they're going to carry a gun anyway? Because they're bad guys. That's what they do. They don't care about a permit. So this is the kind of attitude we have now from our government. Ronald Reagan warned us of this. He said, fascism will come to America in the form of regulation and taxation. It's the quasi what looks like this faux ability to run your own business, to have your own thing. However, government, so much government regulation and control that they're really in charge of the business. You have to make decisions around all the regulations, around all the things that they want you to do. Now, if it's in regard to safety and regarding to protecting people's health and well-being, that's one thing. But they have taken that way, way, way beyond where it ever should have been. In the name of we the people, we're here to, they're now pushing down, especially with this green agenda. This is where this is going to be the fascism of, this is going to be the Nazism, I should say, of our century. Listen to the vitriol and the way that they come across to these bankers, scolding them for lending money to fossil fuel companies, as if they're some parent. This is ridiculous. Let's play the recording here, and we'll just get into it. So here we go.
Recently, do you believe that climate change is a serious risk to the financial system, not to mention the planet?
Can you ask that again? I'm sorry.
Do you believe that climate change is a serious risk to the financial system, not only the planet?
Yes.
I would say not directly to the financial system, mm-hmm. but I think climate change is real, and we should be taking action immediately to do something about it, and most of that's going to have to be legislation.
Now, I want to point out, this is being played in 1.25 times the speed, so this is being played a little faster only for your sake, so you don't have to listen to this whole thing with the whole thing. Trying to cut down on the time. So here we go again. So these are the first two people. She's trying to get them all to admit that climate change is affecting the planet as well as the financial system. It's going to affect the financial system. Of course, she's trying to get them all to agree that, yes, this is a problem for the financial system. And of course, they make some interesting comments here, so we'll see what they say.
If we don't have a planet, we're not going to have a very good financial system.
I agree with my colleagues, and I agree that, and we believe at Bank of America.
Yeah, what he said.
I do agree.
I do agree there are knock-on effects to the financial system.
Yep. I do agree. Yep.
Would you be willing to restrict, limit, or change what your bank finances, what your bank finances, if found out it is making the climate change worse in our country or in our world? Would you change some of your behavior?
I believe we already have started that.
Uh-huh. All of you?
Yeah, we've already started that. We agree it's important. In the meantime, the United States does need energy to eat, mm-hmm. drive, get here, heat, ventilate, hospitals. And there's a smart way to do this and a not smart way to do this.
He knows where she's going.
Yes.
We believe that, and we already have taken action.
We have taken action.
Yes.
We haven't continued to take action.
I'm glad.
What is that action? I'd love to know.
A report released 2 weeks ago shows that fossil fuel lending and underwriting is dominated by big U.S. banks, four of which are sitting right here in front of us. Chase, Wells Fargo, Citi, as well as Bank of America, our top four banks in the world financing fossil fuel industry. Mr. Dimon, your bank alone has provided more than $195 billion in fossil fuel lending and underwriting over the past 3 years since signing of the Paris Climate Agreement, making your bank the number one funder of fossil fuels in the world. Citi, Mr. Corbett, has provided more than $129 billion in fossil fuel funding over the past 3 years, number three in the world. Mr. Monahan, Bank of America has provided more than $106 billion fossil fuel funding over the past 3 years, making it number four in the world. I want folks, don't say that you're committed to clean and sustainable financing because your company's words are not consistent with your actions.
Oh.
I would call this gaslighting. That's kind of what we call it in the neighborhood.
Let's talk about gaslighting. This is not gaslighting. She doesn't even know what gaslighting is. And she's also going to use the term greenwashing, making it look like you're being green friendly, but you're not. You're covering it up because underneath you're financing fossil fuels. Yeah, that's what's keeping them going. little news break here for you, Talib, as the other person was announced her as. Maybe that's the way she pronounced her name. I don't know. Maybe she changed it. You have to understand, we have an oil-based economy. This is what our whole economy is based on, oil. That's not going to change because you're scolding some bankers. Guess what? Lending money to oil companies is good business for the banks. Yes, they make good money doing that. And yes, that's how they're able to continue to finance things like student loans. She makes a comment about student loans a little bit later. We'll get into that and how ridiculous the statement is. This is somebody who, again, is not very well attached to reality.
Neighborhood. But for the sake of this hearing, I'll say that you are greenwashing your own track record in duping the American people into believing that you are helping address climate change.
Duping the American people.
On the record, will any of your banks make a commitment to phase out your investments?
Let's go back here for a moment. I don't know why this is not. Oh, there we go. You're greenwashing your own record and duping the American people. Does anybody really care where the banks lend their money? You're duping the American people. Oh, gee, you're fooling me. I didn't realize the banks loaned money to big oil, to coal mining facilities, to coal factories, to energy supplying companies that I buy my energy from. I didn't realize they were lending money to those places. I've been duped. I feel so stupid because I've been duped this whole time. It's none of my business. Being duped? What are you talking about? They're not. The banks, you can do business with whatever. Here's where we've been duped, folks. The bailouts of the banks. That's when we want to talk about duping. It was you, Rashida, your group, your branch of the government that duped the American people to bailing them out back in 2008. And they didn't need bailing out at all. In fact, only one of them needed bailing out. But they decided to bail all of them out because they didn't want to, you know, shock one particular bank. I wonder who was getting paid behind the scenes. Who was getting their wheels greased in that whole process? Yeah. That's the kind of stuff that happens. So let's go on. Let's see again what she says.
On the record, will any of your banks make a commitment to phase out your investments in fossil fuels and dirty energy and align your investments with the goals of Paris Climate Agreement to help protect our planet and communities I grew up in? That goes to all of you guys. Can answer that. Mr. Corbett?
We have we are in the business of supporting fossil fuel companies, many of which are U.S.-based companies. We have put out significant programs. In fact, we've financed $150 billion of clean projects in recent history. And we keep raising the bar on ourselves and continuing to evolve with our companies towards better and cleaner practices.
Mr. Diamond.
So for JPMorgan Chase alone, 2020, we are going to be green. So for those, our data centers, our people.
You
our,
should
our
see the look on her work, face as he's saying this. In whatever this is, we're going to be green. The look on her face, her left eyelid twitches and goes down like she's really upset with this guy. This is the guy who later makes a comment that kind of spanks her a little bit. And it's one of those things that where he says, we're going to be green as a company. In other words, their company is going to be green. They're going to be carbon neutral, as they call it. Now, this is also the guy who comes out and says they need a carbon tax. Of course, they're prepared for that. They're prepared for the carbon tax because they're going to be carbon neutral, right? We'll get into this whole carbon tax thing at some point here, but it is extremely dangerous. And that's what this is leading to. They think that taxation is the answer to carbon neutral. I'm not even going to get into the whole carbon thing, folks, because let's just take a brief aside for just a moment. Let me just say this real quickly. Ask any atmospheric scientist. Not just a scientist. They come to this consensus with all these scientists. They don't tell you what the scientists say. Somebody like Bill Nye, the science guy. He's an engineer, by the way. He doesn't have a degree in science at all. He got a job as a kid on a kid's show. Bill Nye, the science guy. And now all of a sudden, he's science.
Well, he represents science, so you can't argue with him, because if you argue with him, you're arguing with the science.
Much like Anthony Fauci. And yet that people listen to this guy. They listen to him as if he's some kind of science climatologist. He's not. The consensus of scientists is everybody from an anthropologist to a geologist. Oh yeah, we looked at this. I'm a scientist, so I can look at this and I can give you my I can vote on this now. We can vote on truth now. Science is just a vote. That's all it is. That's not science, folks. And here we have this whole thing with this carbon tax. The number one greenhouse gas, if you want to call it that, or effect on the planet is water vapor. Carbon dioxide, makes up less than 1% of our atmosphere. Its effect on climate is arguably almost zero. But it's an effect that they can measure and they can go after. Because just about everything that moves on the planet expels carbon dioxide. When you breathe, when you exhale, you expel carbon. When you exercise, you expel more carbon. Are they going to tax that? You bet your butt. If they could, they would. That's where this is going. They're trying to go after farmers for cow flatulence. That's how ridiculous these people are. They're trying to tax that. By the way, that's what most, probably 80-85% of the greenery, green plants on the planet need carbon dioxide to live. They convert carbon dioxide into oxygen, by the way. That's what happens to it. The whole hockey stick thing that Al Gore in the lockbox, Al Gore, when he was going on his little spiel back in 2000, you know why the Inconvenient Truth has, you know, completely been debunked now. Well, you don't hear him talking about it anymore. Is because he made his millions there, and he's a fraud. He's the whole guy's a complete fraud. But he talked about this whole look at the hockey stick. How the temperature's going up because the carbon levels went up. Everybody's basing it on that. This was all part of their plan. I'm telling you. This is the new fascism, and this is how they're going to promote it. So we have this whole thing now with this idea that carbon is our enemy. Carbon emissions are the enemy, and that's what. And they're still. I'm still trying to figure out: does it cause the Earth to warm? Are we still talking about global warming or just climate change? Of course, now we've got a hurricane down in the Gulf and it's heading towards Tampa, and everybody's, oh, look, this is what they call the nature is mad at us because we emit too much carbon. Even though we've had fewer hurricanes in the last 10 years than ever before, storms have always been around us. Some years are worse than others. But no. This is the way we go. So let's go on with this thing. I'm sorry. I keep yakking away. It's only a couple more minutes, so we'll just go on.
We also finance something like $200 billion a year green. We have a thorough risk committee that makes sure every company do business with does things right under the law, and we're helping some of these companies make a transition to a greener future. But if you want to fix this problem, you are going to have to do something like a carbon tax less carbon dividend.
There you go. Carbon tax less carbon dividend. That's what he's pushing for. One of the guys that you would have thought didn't like this whole thing, he's for it because he's prepared for it. He's investing in carbon taxation probably. That's why he wants it. So let's go on. This is a different segment.
We weren't one of the institutions you named, but I'm happy to answer the question. I mean, we're obviously the trade-off is finding the balance between a viable economy and reducing fossil fuel at the same time, replacing with clean energy.
That was a.
So I would like to ask all of you and go down the list, because again, you all have agreed to doing this. Please answer with a simple yes or no. Does your bank have a policy against funding new oil and gas products? Mr. Diamond.
Absolutely not, and that would be the road to hell for America.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine, sir. You know what? Everybody that got relief from student loans has a bank account with your bank should probably take out their account and close their account.
Listen to what she just said there. This is somebody who's just spouting off, isn't it? You can tell. This is just like somebody in a playground.
You know what? Everybody that got relief from student loans has a bank account with your bank should probably take out their account and close their account.
Everybody who has student loans who got relief from your bank should probably take out their account and close their account. Well, okay. How does that work? Explain to me exactly how that's supposed to work. So I have a loan with you. I'm just going to close out my account. I have a student loan, so I'm just going to go ahead and close out that account with you. How does that work? I don't think it does. I don't think that works that way. Now, if you've put money into a savings account or a 401k and it's your money that's in there, that's fine. No, you owe them money. You can't just, well, I'm just going to close my account with you. Oh, so you're not going to pay me the money you borrowed from me. Is that what she's advocating here? Maybe she doesn't understand how the whole debt thing works. Well, I'm just going to pay off my loan and close my account. Okay. How are you punishing them for that? This is one of the people who are, of course, now she's also the one who was cussing in front of her child. A pre-teenager, she's using the four-letter words in front of her child, telling them, we're going to go after this. We're going to impeach the, you know, when Donald Trump was elected, and all of a sudden now she's, of course, I'm sure she's a very good Muslim. Can somebody answer the question for me? Here's a question. This is a sideline. This whole show is a sideline. How do Muslims, and I'm totally curious about this. I really want to know. Christians deal with the sin issue, our selfish nature and our sinfulness, through a sacrifice made by Messiah, God in the flesh. Now, Muslims, as I understand it, consider Jesus to be, or Yeshua, to be a prophet. He's mentioned in the Quran. So, how are they forgiven of their sins? I genuinely want to know how they achieve forgiveness. I know that there's some belief, and this is a kind of a, I think it's also in Judaism, whether or not it's actually taught or not, or whether it's just kind of an, and this even happens in Christianity, by the way. If you do enough good works, it outweighs your bad things. Penance kind of thing. So you do good works to offset and off-balance the bad things that you've done, to make up for the bad things you've done. That works fine in human eyes sometimes. Well, I took something from you, so I'm going to pay you back seven times. And then I stole $100 from you, or I did something that cost you $100. So I'm going to give you $700 back. That smooths over and pretty much forgives things, typically. Even just giving back the $100. But the reason there's a seven times is because all the time and effort and anguish that you went through, it's to hopefully kind of help to pay for some of that, to make up for some of that. However, is there such a system in Islam? I don't know. Now, the problem with it is, once you've offended God, that does not make up for your sin. You can't do enough good works to make up for something bad you've done. At least I believe you're going to stand before him and the scales are going to be weighed out, and you're going to find out that there was a whole lot more you did wrong than you realize. And all the good works that you did are not going to measure up to God's standard of purity and holiness and righteousness. If you think you can attain or achieve some kind of righteousness of your own, well, good luck with that. That's what you're going to need is luck. And I guarantee you there's no luck about it. You're telling me you're going to stand before the most holy, the most righteous, pure God of all creation, and you're going to hold up all the good things you've done. And he's going to wink at you and say, oh, good, there you go. You're a good person. You've achieved it. You've attained it. I'm not buying that. All of my hope, all of my righteousness, all of my holiness is found in the one who was slain for me. I have no hope outside of that. There's no way I can do enough goodness to make up for the depravity of the things I've done, the selfishness that I've had, and probably will continue to have. That's where my hope is. If I'm wrong, then so be it. But I know in my heart the peace that is there, that goes beyond all understanding. And I can't explain that. So we go on. Let's go on with this. Sorry, I didn't mean to get into a big, long sermon there. Let's go on with this this whole Talab thing.
The fact that you're not even there to help relieve many of the folks that are in debt, extreme debt, because of student loan debt, and you're out there criticizing it.
Yeah. So there's nothing.
Ms. Frazier, how about you?
We will continue to invest in and support clients who are investing in fossil fuels and in helping them transition to cleaner energies.
And Mr. Monahan?
We are helping our clients make a transition, and that means we're lending to both oil and gas companies and to new energy companies and helping monitor their course towards the standards you're talking about.
Yeah, Mr.
Sharp. The same thing as Mr. Moynihan said.
Same thing. He said.
I'm not going to ask you, Mr. Diamond, because you obviously don't care about working class people in frontline communities like ours that are facing huge amounts of high rates of asthma, respiratory issues, and so much more. Cancer rates are so high.
He's laughing at her, by the way, about what this is going on. That's enough of that. I won't. I'm not going to continue to punish you with having to listen to her. Do you hear the question is, why are these people even, have they done something illegal? Have they done something wrong? No, they have not. This is a berating, a chastising, a ridiculing, a shaming, an attempt to shame them into compliance with the green agenda. Are you going to keep... As if lending money to fossil fuel companies is a crime. It's a sin. It's a crime. How dare you? How dare you? That's what we're up against, folks. It is a religion in and of itself. And it has its own laws, its own morality. Much like the government of the leftists themselves. And they seek to control you by shaming you in front of the American people like this. Because you're duping the American people. You're not duping anybody. And the comments she starts making about cancer rates going up and all these other things, all this is now tied into this idea that you're lending money to fossil fuel companies, cancer wouldn't be here if it wasn't for fossil fuels. Fossil fuels are causing the cancer. Fossil fuels are causing climate change. They're causing a hurricane. They're causing the seawater the sea is rising, and it's going to devastate the coastal areas. That's why they're all buying homes on the beach. Well, it's not going to be for another 100 years. It's only going to rise 2 inches. Oh, yeah, they didn't tell us that. That's called duping. That's what you call duping, folks. This is what we're up against, folks. And I play this so that you can see the kind of ridiculous statements. You can tell that there's some bankers there who are trying to talk some sense. Now, they're willing to go along with this green agenda thing and try to be a part of, you know, because they're convinced that, oh, yeah, we've got to save the planet. Financial institutions aren't going to be worth much if we don't have a planet. But at the same time, they're trying to use practical measures to get there from point A to point B. You don't just, well, we're just going to drop the journey and just go right to C. Instead of going to even A to B, we're just going to go to C. And we're going to force it on you. And if you don't agree, you're an enemy. And along the way, if you're not participating fast enough, you're trying to kill the planet. You're an existential threat. To get back to this whole thing of Democrats keep saying, like Bill Clinton came out and said this the other day. Well, you know, all the Republicans have to offer is fear. They just want to scare everybody. All they ever talk about is stuff that they just want to talk about fear. This agenda about fear. The world's going to end in 12 years if we don't do something about climate change. Who said that? Donald Trump is an existential threat to the planet. Who said that? Fossil fuels. The MAGA crowd is a threat to our democracy. Our democracy is on the line in this election. Where Nancy Pelosi, she's out there doing all kinds of promotional stuff now. Nancy Pelosi can't draw a crowd. She has to go to where the crowd is. This is where the differences between the Trump movement, the MAGA movement, the Patriot movement, and the leftists. Nancy Pelosi shows up at a concert. These kids just want to listen to a concert. They don't want to listen to Nancy Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi gets up there. Half the stadium is booing her. I don't believe they were booing her because they don't like her politics. I think they just didn't want to hear from a politician. It wouldn't have mattered who was up there. Whether it was Trump, Pelosi, Schumer. They don't want to see some greasy, phony, lying politician up there talking down to them. That's not what they want. She got a very bad reaction from that crowd, by the way. It's all about the children. It's about the children. And the children don't like her. They're scared. So we ended up. You got her. Now Donald Trump can show up, and he is the event. He can draw thousands of people in just because he's going to be there. Because they get it. She was also out being interviewed by a reporter while she was out walking. And of course, she's panting and huffing and puffing and huffing and puffing. Now, we don't know how far she walked. It could have just been out to get the mail and back. I don't know. She was walking somewhere, and they were walking alongside of her, and she's huffing and puffing and trying to get out her little spiel about how they're, you know, they're, what they're going to do. And this is where they're at right now. The fuel prices are still up, and they're ticking back up again, unfortunately, for them. It's, of course, now the Republicans have come out with some kind of a commitment to America. It's not a contract with America. It's a commitment to America. We're going through this against the same thing. They're going through this again, and I'm going to talk more about this. Maybe I might talk about it later today, or I might actually do a show this evening that I'll actually post tomorrow morning. I hate doing that because I like to live in the moment a little bit more. If it was up to me, I'd do all these shows live. just because it's real. It's in the moment. But I probably will do a show that I'm going to talk a little bit about the whole Republican side of things now. With this Kevin McCarthy thing, their commitment to America, to do this, to do that. And it's all about reversing the stuff that the Democrats have done. Okay, then what? Then what are you going to do? And that's the problem. These guys like to lead from behind. And then when they are in the lead, when they are actually leaders, they don't lead anything. They just sit back and let it encroach again. So wait for the second wave to come back. And it will. It always does. Every time they take over more ground. So this is where we're at. And I think what I'm going to do is just basically leave you with this. Because it's something to think about. If the leftists had their way, if the leftists had Congress, the Senate, and a majority in the Senate, by the way, a 60% majority, and the presidency, if these people were in charge for the next 8 years, where do you think the country would be? Oh, it'd be great. We'd be all plugging in our cars and just, there wouldn't be any, we could just breathe clean air, clean water. Because Republicans don't want that. Whatever. Pray for the nation, pray for each other, folks. Thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing and sharing. And I will have a show, hopefully, again tomorrow or tonight. We'll see. God bless.